I feel really compelled this morning to start out by saying, once again, I love you. This is how they will know you're my disciples, that you love one another. I'm not your manager, I'm not your boss, I'm your dad, I'm your spiritual father, and I love you, and we're family together. And that's something that I believe we do very well here at St. Mary of Pine Bluff, but I believe too that we're called to even get better with. We've been talking about it, haven't we? We've experienced it, and the word I keep using is challenging. It's not as severe a word, but challenging times. Historic, at the level of historic. And it's been a tough go. And it looks like, too, we might be facing more challenging times. I'm hearing murmuring of people talking about food shortages. Right now we have baby food shortages right now. But the signs are there for that kind of thing. We're called to stand against everything that's trying to destroy us. We live in a time, too, where evil feels licensed, okay, has the authority to dictate to us what betrays God, what goes directly against the will of God. And we are painted as extremist fanatics, ultra, I guess, if we dare stay with our Lord, if we dare stay with the truth. We're called to be a light during these times. We're called to push back the darkness with the light, the love, the grace that God has given each one of us. And I think we've been facing some signs, too, that are telling us to get ready. I want to point out a couple of them that I've noticed recently. Of course, we started the month of Mary, on May 1st, processing a statue of Our Lady of Fatima that five people witnessed weep, a powerful statue of Fatima. As we entered into the month of Mary, Mary to Jesus through Mary, we've always been told, taught. And here we are in the month of Mary, heading toward the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, June. In that month, we're going to face some good things, actually, with the SCOTUS decision, hopefully overturning Roe v. Wade, in other words, removing their sanction, the killing of babies, and the bishops are moving us all into a three-year revival of the Holy Eucharist. Amazing good. But we can see how angry the devil is and his minions. And so we need to get ready, because it's going to get rough. They're going to push back. And these are, by minions, I just believe, there are forces out there of influence, forces of influence that are unhinged. That's an interesting word. I would use it to be synonymous to detached. They're detached from God. They're detached from right versus wrong, good versus evil. In other words, their rule book has no rules. Whatever it takes to get into power they have license to do it, is given to them, because the ultimate good is power. This is what we're facing right now. And then we had this this past week, the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. This marks now the 105th anniversary of Fatima. I found it interesting that it landed on Friday this year. So Friday the 13th. I mean, it's always been associated, I think, with bad luck. But where does that come from? Well, in the Bible, you can look at 13 as the amount of those who were at the Last Supper. And in some traditions, earlier Catholic traditions, they would make sure they didn't have parties that had 13 people, because look what happened the day after Jesus was betrayed by the 13th of those 13, Judas. And so in that way, they saw it as an ominous number. Friday, again, the Last Supper was the day before Jesus offered his life for us on Good Friday. And so Friday the 13th. But look what Mary did in 1917. She chose the 13th day from May through October to visit, ending with the miracle of the sun on October 13th. We were reflecting this past week how 33 years to the day prior to that was when Pope Leo XIII had his vision. And he overheard a conversation with Jesus and Satan. I can destroy your church. I just need more time. 50 to 100 years, you have it, Jesus said. And then Pope Leo wrote the St. Michael Prayer at that time. And that's what we pray at the end of Mass here. This is a more abbreviated version of the original, but it's the tradition to pray that. But it's almost as if Our Lady said, God is more powerful than evil or even superstition, right? So here, I'm going to land on the 13th to take away its power over you. At least that's my interpretation. So here on this particular year, after we've been battling through this 2 year of virus and everything that goes with that, I won't get into the particulars again here, but as now we're facing revolt in the streets and whatever else they have planned to do that has nothing to do with a rule book, okay? The end justifies the means. Our Lady, her feast day, the feast day of Our Lady of Fatima, lands on that particular day. But what's interesting, I don't know if you've heard, tonight there's a celestial event that's going to happen. And realize, too, that the apostles would point to signs and wonders that would happen. So it's not superstitious or anything. It's very biblical. I mean, the wise men followed a star to find the baby Jesus. But what's happening tonight is what's called a super flower blood moon. Wow. Super because that's what they call it when the moon is closest to us. So it's going to be as large as it can possibly be. Okay, it's super because that flower, because it's happening in the month of May. And I don't know about you, but I'm geeking out. I mean, this was a long winter, at least in my book. It was a long winter for us. And so just in the last week, the trees, at least what I was seeing, went from buds to leaves everywhere and flowers popping up everywhere. I'm driving around going, thank you God, praise you God. I'm geeking out about it, particularly this year. I don't know why. Again, I think it was a long winter, but they call it the flower moon because it marks the end of the end of the winter frost, and now the farmers are able to plant their seeds. But what's interesting is. And then, so super flower and then blood because it's a lunar eclipse. So I think it's the shadow of the earth will be over the moon and then it'll look blood red. And that's all happening, wait for it, at 11:11 tonight. I've always found that number very interesting. I did a little digging on it, and biblically, the number 1111 is considered to be the symbol of a wake-up call, a spiritual awakening. It says another biblical meaning of the number 11, as well as the meaning of number 1111, is transition. It means that the period of big changes is coming, and you will have to awake in a spiritual sense. Signs and wonders. Right after Pentecost, that made me think of one other thing I've been pointing out to you as well. is that this year, Pentecost falls on the day before the anniversary of D-Day. And I think that the whole D-Day vision is similar to ours, only in a spiritual sense at this time. But what did they do? They were fed up with evil, so much so that they got together. They trained up, and they moved in, and they stormed the beaches of Normandy, and they moved in toward the bullets. And it was bloody, but it ended in victory because they had the courage, the resolve, the dedication to face the enemy, to take whatever the enemy is throwing at us. I think we're facing that time. And I don't think it's an accident that we are led to notice that. It's a lot like D-Day. We just did our last podcast. It was all about this spiritual D-Day that we're about to face. And so Pentecost this year, June 5th, I was looking on the Acts of the Apostles, and what Peter said to the crowds right after they received the power of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2. He said this, "Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." I started out by saying I love you, and I do. I keep looking for more ways to express that to you. I pray we all are growing in our love for each other, and then our love that we have for our neighbor and anyone we encounter each and every day. We must, throughout our lives, grow in that love. In other words, be more and more open to the power of the Holy Spirit coming in our lives. We've been spending 90 days, okay, and we're getting very close to the end of that 90 days that will end just as we face the Feast of the Visitation on May 30th. But we're also going to incorporate the most ancient of all novenas, the Pentecost novena, May 27th, up to the Feast of Pentecost. And we're going to ask for the Holy Spirit like we never have before. And we've also added this, and you'll hear a lot more about it in the coming couple of weeks, because 3 weeks away, we're going to do something similar to what we did last summer. Remember, that was called our Heal Our Land Holy Hours. We saw what the virus would do it. We saw what evil people were doing. We asked God from 2 Corinthians 7:14 that to heal our land. Well, this year, we're asking God to empower us to get drunk in the Holy Spirit, to be filled with such an anointing that our love is profound and readily witnessed by others. And so we've decided, instead of every Thursday, which was challenging to pull off, we're going to do every first Friday. I love the first Fridays. Remember, the month of June, when we start, is the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I think there's something to the Sacred Heart that we're called upon with all of this. Remember, too, we've been promoting the Sacred Heart Novena Prayer. We actually have it in this scroll pen right here. This was Padre Pio's favorite prayer, where a lot of miracles came from. My brothers and sisters, we're going to ask for miracles. We've seen some here at St. Mary's. But We're going to get drunk in the Holy Spirit. We're going for it. So what we're going to do on First Fridays is what we call First Friday Faith Force. So you see a flyer like this. But that's the image of the apostles with the Blessed Mother receiving the Holy Spirit. Every first Friday we'll gather like we, it's going to be much like our Thursdays that we had. We'll be in here for our holy hour of adoration, the rosary, confession will be available. It's going to be amazing. And then we're going to add an inspirational talk. Just as we're concluding our holy hour here, we'll do a little 10 or 15 minute inspirational talk. I'm going to do the first one. I'm probably going to get some great speakers to come in for the other ones. It's going to be amazing. But to ask us all to become unhinged from the world, detached from the world, and as we've been doing for 90 days, to throw ourselves into the arms of our Lord and to fall in love with Him. And in that way, we become the most open to the power of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want our Pharisaical religious practices alone. He wants our love. He loves us. He asks for us to return it. Our Faith Force evenings are going to ask us to do that. We come here to fall in love with the Lord, then we'll go out on the lawn and fall in love all over again with each other. And I'd take any volunteers that want to, please come forward. I think Joel Bergeson's going to head it up, so you get a hold of me or the office or Joel. But I'm so looking forward to these. It's going to be amazing. I was praying my morning office today, and I wanted to close with my favorite psalm, because it appeared today. Of course it did. But it's a psalm that I love because it talks about our love for the Lord a lot, but it also says that he puts us into the shadow of his wings, and then his right hand holds me fast. You probably heard me say this before. When I pray this prayer, I do this when I pray, your right hand holds me fast. It's just that connection. I don't want to be among the unhinged and detached from God. I want to be as close to Him, as attached as I possibly can. I pray you do too. He might ask us to do stuff if we get that close, but we'll do it. It will be, His yoke is easy, it will burn light because we'll love Him so much. We can't wait to do it. When we're detached, when we're unhinged, it's the biggest burden in the world to do God's missions. Do you see? And so, call it the summer of love, if you want. But that's what we're doing, Faith Force on First Fridays. And so I'll end with a psalm, Psalm 63. Oh God, you are my God. For you I long. For you my soul is thirsting. My body pines for you, like a dry, weary land without water. So I gaze on you in the sanctuary to see your strength and your glory. For your love is better than life. My lips will speak your praise, so I will bless you all my life. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul shall be filled as with a banquet. My mouth shall praise you with joy. On my bed I remember you. On you I muse through the night, for you have been my help. In the shadow of your wings I rejoice. My soul clings to you. Your right hand holds me fast. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.